Longhorns Coach Speak for another Monday night. It's a bittersweet episode of Longhorns Coach Speak. We're glad to be here at Rudy's Barbecue. We're on Highway 59, just south of 99 at Rudy's Barbecue in Richmond. However, it's going to be our last edition of Longhorns Coach Speak for the 2022 season. The Longhorns dropped their bi-district playoff game 49-14 to Cinco Ranch last Friday night at Rhodes Stadium, and that concluded their season. Coach, first of all, welcome in.
Thank you.
Let's talk first of all about the game on Friday night, and then we'll talk later about the season as a whole. What did you see from your guys last week in the bi-district playoff?
I think the game started out fast-paced. Obviously, the weather and conditions came right down around right at kickoff time. So they kind of jumped on us early. Had some plays on their advantage, some things with the wind, and jumped out early. We thought the second half was settled down. They fought, they played hard. We won each quarter in the second half, and obviously a little too late, but I thought they fought to the end, so I was proud of them for that and seeing how they finished out the season.
When you and I were talking on the field prior to the kickoff, it was windy and cool, but no rain. I have here on my notes, before the game started, it was 54, and the wind was coming out of the northwest at 17, and then it started raining right after the national anthem. So the game, as far as conditions, got off on the wrong foot, both in the first quarter and then the third quarter. The same thing happened as the third quarter started.
Yeah, and I believe by the time the third quarter, it had dropped even about another 10 to 12 degrees. As well to go along with the rains and winds.
Yeah, it was, sports people talk about this all the time. It's the same for both teams. Everybody's on the field at the same time. However, when you're rooting for one team over another, that always comes into play, always comes into the discussion about what the conditions are and how that might affect your offense, your defense, your kicking game, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, for the most part, both teams handled it pretty well. There was a couple times that offensively we weren't able to grip the ball as well. So, some of the throws and some of the receivers that were open just had a hard time gripping it and making it. So, had to run a little bit more or throw the shorter pass. But taking care of the ball, with those conditions that we did all right.
Yeah, up there in the broadcast booth, we could definitely tell how the conditions were affecting the game. You could see receivers slipping on the turf as they were trying to go up for passes. And Jason Ford and I, calling the game, we talked about how it was a great advantage for the kickers to be going against going towards where the wind was blowing to get those better punts to put the team better down the field. So it must be really tough to play in those kind of conditions, but it's pretty admirable how you guys faced those tough conditions and still managed to put up a respectable fight.
Yeah, definitely. When we talk about the winds, I think we had a punt early on. Can't remember what punt of the early part of the game, but that kind of got hung up in the winds there, and you could kind of see it. It was starting to go. Yeah, it was starting to go, and if you remember that one, it had been a 12-yard punt, but it started taking off, and then it just got a little too high, and it came kind of back and stopped and came straight down. But definitely those play in the field position when you're not able to flip the field. And, we've been able to use that as a weapon all year long with Michelle being able to pin them deep or get some, high yards in his punts. So that also did affect some of our field position as well.
I always say kickers rule, but they don't have any control over Mother Nature. And he was kicking into that one. And I know exactly what you're describing. The ball went up and then basically came back in his face and only got a few yards out of that. Came back and put Cinco Ranch at the 48-yard line. They ended up having to punt, but to show the difference in conditions, the direction you were going, David Michelle's 12-yard punt was followed by one from Cinco Ranch, and theirs went 44 yards with the wind. So that certainly describes the conditions and things like that. When we come back, we'll take our first break here. When we come back, we'll talk about the teams in 26A that have advanced to the area round and who they're playing, and then we'll talk about the football season with George Ranch and how it went from the opening game through the final bi-district game. You're listening to Live Longhorns Coach Speak from Rudy's Barbecue in Richmond. We'll be right back.
You don't realize, like you said, that not just in the air, but 12-yard punt,
yeah.
And then they were able to flip the field again with a 44-yard punt.
Yeah, and then you had to punt again. It was 35-yard. That turned into a score, but, you know, it just, this one was a line drive, as I recall.
Yeah.
Hey, Longhorns, the time is now to order your George Ranch High School yearbooks. We live every side split. Buzzer me! And dear jerky moment for the rest of your lives.
All right, back at Rudy's Barbecue, I'm Tom Tarando alongside the Longhorns head coach, Nick Cavallo, and our sideline reporter and analyst for football games, now 3 years running, Keenan Vaughn, who is in his senior year at George Ranch, so we're going to lose him from the GRHSI radio team. Just fantastic, stellar performance all 3 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I still remember when I first came on in this program, there was the year when the pandemic was starting to set in and football had just come back. And this is the first year I joined your class, Tom, and I'd never done anything like sideline reporting, but eventually I got to work my way up, and without the experience I got from being on the sidelines, I wouldn't have been able to work my way up to the booth. So I'm grateful for every game that I've been to and all the experiences I've collected, so
well,
thank you.
You really handled it well, and as a matter of fact, you bring that up, the COVID year when you first started, you were segregated in the end zone and not the greatest vantage point, especially when all the action is at the other end of the field, but you made do and did a great job then and really progressed.
I remember, not to go too much off script, but I remember in the first year, you had told me you don't have a student sideline reporter, and that was kind of about it. And you talk about that end zone, and it's right there before you go into the locker room at halftime. And I just remember walking in, I don't remember what game it was, but it was one of the early games that year, and just walking in, and as I was literally walking in, talking with the coaches, Keenan popped up, and all of a sudden, Coach, can I get a couple words? And just out of nowhere, right there, I was like, this kid's good.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. Let's go to what's happening in the area round with teams that either were involved in or teams that were involved in 26A. The Longhorns dropped their game to Cinco Ranch. Cinco will play Cy Fair this week in the area round. Cy Fair beat Westside 49-0. So Cy Fair and Cinco Ranch square off. Ridge Point High School won in double overtime during the bi-district round, 35-33 over Tompkins. They're going to meet Houston Lamar in the area round this week on the, or in the other division rather. Katy's gonna play Memorial just as a team of interest since Katy beat Clements last week. And then down below in the standing, Hightower and Heights square off in area round play that starts this Thursday, and all games have to be completed by Saturday so with everybody in the UIL can move into the regional round. Keenan, let's talk about the beginning of the season, and we'll get Coach to weigh in here. The Longhorns started out with their two non-district games, and that was a little rough sledding. Maybe you have some questions with Coach about the Foster game and Katy Taylor.
Absolutely. So, Coach, I think my main question is, after those two tough losses to Foster and Katy Taylor to begin the year, how did you really get to rally your players to go on that impressive winning streak and in district play, kind of put your season on track to make it to the playoffs?
Yeah, no, you know, one thing that since I've been the head coach here that I've always looked to do is to schedule tough pre-district opponents. You know, look through the years, we're constantly playing playoff teams. And, you know, the big thing for us is just to get tested as we get ready to get into district. You know, when you look at game one against Foster, you know, there was a lot of things defensively. We were starting nine first-time starters. Offensively, we had a new offense. Again, coming back, some pieces were back, but new offense, trying a new offensive coordinator, putting some things together. And then we had also, you know, lost a couple kids in spring football and then also in preseason games that were kids that we thought were going to be part of the program and part of the success this year. So we had to kind of figure out who that was going to step up for them and who that was going to be. You know, so you see that first game where that kind of there, and the second game you come back and, you know, I think defensively that we were able to get some back. I believe the first game we were down three or four defensive tackles that did not play, again, that were going to be first-time varsity kids. Got some of them back, so defensively felt that we shored it up a little bit more, was able to do some things. And then really getting into the district, you know, you see each week the goal of what we talked about was just get better each week, get better each week, get better each week, and see how that goes and takes us. And you know, again, we're able to get on the streak right there in the district to really set us off on the right foot, and then go through the stretch where, you know, that big stretch there where we had Ridge Point, Bush, Hightower, and Dulles was a very important stretch for us as well to come out of that 2-2. But again, it just goes back to just getting better each week with the kids.
Coach, I have a question, and it may be difficult to answer. It's hard for human beings to go back and tell you what they were thinking prior to the season, but maybe a little look behind the curtain. Before you guys took your first snap in fall ball and you were just getting back to school and just getting back to practice, looking at the schedule, what did you think was realistic and what was a realistic goal for the Longhorns?
You know, I think we always set our sights on making it back to the playoffs, but I also think we knew that it was going to be tough. Very tough district, and again, not knowing exactly what, you know, some of the kids would, how they would respond, how they would, I guess you'd say, how they would transfer it there. You know, we had some of these kids, I'll use an example, Henry Chukwu was successful on the JV level, but hadn't done it on the varsity level yet. So you don't know, you think you pencil it in, you think, okay, he's going to be able to help us, but you just don't know when you move up, you know, from sub-varsity to varsity. So, you know, you take a kid like him, and he was able to do a lot of great things, cause mischief, be all over the field, be a team leader, ended up being. But, you know, you see some of that, and you think that's what's going to happen, but until, you know, you get into that, you know, August 28th, 26th, we play the August 26th game, and how it's going, you really don't know until you get that way. So, you know, like I said, our goal was to make the playoffs, but I think, you know, realistically, you know, we're unsure. We know where it was to go. If you even look into the games, I mean, we were fortunate to start that, you know, 3-2. But as you look at those games, we could have easily been 0-5. Mm-hmm. You know, one play this way, one play that way. You know, so just, again, there's so many plays in each game on offense, defense, special teams that determine the outcome of the game. You never know when it's going to happen. You never know when it's going to be. That, unfortunately for us, went our way.
And what Coach is referring to is after those first two non-district games, the Longhorns went 3-0. They beat Clements 24-21, their favorite score, as it turns out, during the course of the year. Beat Austin 23-13, and then beat Travis 24-21, and all of a sudden the Longhorns went from 0-2 to 3-2, but more importantly, won the first three district games.
Yeah, I think we talked about this during the broadcast throughout the season. Certainly the thing that was most prominent to me is this was a team that, you know, it wasn't about the big flashy wins. It was about winning by any means necessary. And that was what impressed me most was the grit that you guys showed, especially in the second half, to finish off those games, keep it close, but ultimately come out with a victory. So what goes into that where you put together that 60-minute effort and you keep it close throughout the game, but you still come away with a win? How does that feel coming into the locker room after a victory like that?
Oh, you know, it's definitely emotional, exciting. You kind of go through a roller coaster of emotions with that. And the kids do as well, you know. It's the thing, you talk about close games, you practice situations, but you never know kind of how you get there. If you look at each one of those games, there was different ways we got to those. You know, the most recent one I can think of and remember and go back is Dulles later in the year. You know, we were down 21-7 and ended up turning around and coming back to winning that one. But, you know, we got that way, you know, five turnovers, three turnovers in the first half. You know, a return kick that we returned the kickoff. You know, then going through scoring and doing those different things to end up in a position where you can win the ball game, you know, and so each one of those, you go to the Bush game, the overtime victory, you go to the Clements game, where we're driving down last, kick a field goal with, you know, 3 seconds left or whatnot. And, you know, in every one of those games, there's different ways that we ended up getting there. So, you know, you can practice those situations, you can do all that, but until the kids are in the situation, coaching wise, you're in the situation, you never know the outcome.
We'll take another break here. When we come back, we'll have more from Coach Cavallo and from Keenan Vaughn. We'll talk about the balance of the season and how the first three district games kind of shaped George Ranch's season moving forward. You're listening to live Longhorns Coach Speak from Rudy's Barbecue in Richmond. We're at Highway 59, just south of 99 in Richmond. Come on out, dine in with us, and watch and listen to the show. We'll be here until 7:15. We'll be right back. Thank you, Bob Riley, back at Rudy's Barbecue. We're talking about the Longhorns' 2022 football season. Finished 6-5 overall, including the bi-district game last Friday night against Cinco Ranch. 6-2 in 26A play. Longhorns moved their record to 3-2 after their win against Travis, 24-21. And then, Coach, you set up to play the Ridgepoint Panthers.
Yeah, you know, again, starting the district off 3-0, we're excited. Did exactly what we needed to do. You know, thought we had a good week of practice leading up to Ridgepoint. And again, during that game, you know, we had some mistakes that hurt us. And they're a really good football team when you look at their defense. six to eight Division One Power Five kids on that defense. Quarterback's good player, running back, receivers. You know, so it's a team that you got to bring your best game. You can't have any mistakes, mental errors, or mistakes against them.
And I think the note I wanted to add is even in games like Ridge Point or Hightower, I think throughout the whole season, I've noticed how, especially as being a sideline reporter, I've noticed the energy on the sidelines. And whenever the team would make a big play, there would always be tremendous support from everyone on the team. And I think that's what was really admirable to me is, again, even in games like a Ridge Point game or a Hightower game or Cinco Ranch, you guys just felt like really like a family, like a true team that was there to support each other. And what goes into that?
Just time together and you know, everyone being bought into the program and to the common goal that we're trying to achieve. And then just, again, you know, we talk about high school sports and high school football. It's the brotherhood of just, you know, you're sitting there and guys that you've grown up with, kids that played Little League together since you were 7, 8 years old. You know, and now playing for your school, and just, you know, when you get everyone to buy in for that, then that's what you see as a result.
In that, after that Ridge Point game, rather, you guys were all knotted up again, 3-3, but despite the loss to Ridge Point and the score against Ridge Point, came right back against Bush, beat them 20-17, and you were back on top of the league, so to speak. You were 4-3 and picked up your fourth district win against just one loss.
Yeah, and again, you know, one thing that we talk about, and obviously as you look at it and you're going through it, or you look at it just as a fan, you know, obviously a 61-0 loss is as bad as it looks, but it's no different than a 7-6 loss. You know, at the end of the day, in the column, it's a loss. So, you know, being able to talk to the kids about that a loss is a loss. It doesn't matter by 1 point or by 60 points. It's still one loss in the column. So being able to bounce back and, you know, a lot of things we talk about that pertains to life. You know, honestly, we go on and we talk about that. Everything doesn't always go your way in life, and how you're going to respond to that. Are you going to allow things to keep happening and keep happening, or are you going to respond and react to that? And I feel that, you know, every time we had a so-called bad loss like that, we were able to respond and perform the following week.
Yeah, and the example you gave is kind of the reverse of the baseball example. You get a bloop hit to center, it looks like a line drive in the box score, and the same with that. You come off a big loss and you look at the score, but it's just a loss in the column, and you move on to the next week. And in the next week, you guys, after you had righted the ship a little bit against Bush, came back against Hightower, and another kind of a crooked number put up against the Longhorns. But again, you came back against Dulles. That was an overtime game. You won that by your favorite score, 24-21, and again, we're back on top of the league.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, you look at Hightower, a team that's still playing in the playoffs. A lot of athletes. Again, when you play opponents like the Hightower, like a Ridge Point, like a Foster, even Cinco Ranch, things like that, the margin for error is much, much smaller. And so any mistake is magnified. But again, we're able to bounce back. Game against Dulles, that even in that game, I think I mentioned it there, you know, we were down 21-7 and be able to come out the half. But we really felt though when we went in the locker room at halftime in that game that everything, the position we were in was all our own doing. Meaning, if you remember there, the turnovers, we had 3 turnovers that they capitalized on. Then we had two plays. That one was just a straight blown coverage, and then another one, we were right on the guy, missed the tackle, and he scored. So defensively, we felt that those two plays was all they really were able to muster and do in the first half. And then, again, offensively, we were drive and drive and turnover. So, you know, we felt that if we can take those away in the second half, that we'd be able to win the football game. And that's exactly what they did, and they believed, and they kept going and was able to win the game.
Yeah, and I think in the course of the season for me, the moment that I always come back to when I think about the season as a whole is definitely the Dulles game, where you guys were down 14 points at one point. But you made that miraculous second half comeback, and I think that just epitomizes the spirit of the team. And I like what you said. It doesn't matter, you know, how big the loss is or how big you're down. It's always about how you bounce back and you respond. And I think that was really impressive how you guys rallied like that. I believe, was it a David Michel game-winning field goal in that game? Yes. And
22 yards, if memory serves.
Yes. I think, for me, the novelty of those close wins at the last minute, it never wore off for me. It was always just as thrilling as the last time. So, for you as a coach, how does it make you feel to see your players respond like that and kind of buy into your system, you know, never quitting until the clock says zero?
You know, I think it makes me very proud, just in terms, I mentioned this here, because, you know, obviously our goal is to win football games and to win district titles, state titles, all that. But, you know, as myself, as a former college athlete, I can't remember the scores of mostly almost any game I played in. I played, you know, in front of hundreds of thousands and big arenas, big stadiums, all that. But, you know, the things that you remember is one, the lessons your coaches try to install in you, try to teach you, and then the camaraderie, brotherhood, camaraderie amongst your teammates. So, you know, again, they may never remember those scores as they go down, but they're going to remember, hey, we were down, and David kicked the game, went a field goal, or Gregor caught a pass in overtime, or, you know, we had an interception to close out a game, things like that. And then again, to remember of, you know, how do we respond? Yes, we lost this game. And yes, we started out this way. You know, we started out, again, we mentioned we started out 0-2. And, you know, obviously districts are different and things like that. But, you know, the team that beat us was home, you know, last week, and we were still playing. So, you know, to be able to have that, it's a tremendous accomplishment to the kids.
All right, another break coming up here, and when we come back, we'll talk about the last couple regular season games and then on into the bi-district playoffs. You're listening to Live Longhorns Coach Speak from Rudy's Barbecue in Richmond. We'll be right back. If you're into sports, especially high school sports, then the Fort Bend Herald is for you. The Fort Bend Herald, Fort Bend's oldest newspaper since 1892, covers area high school sports like no other paper around. And for as little as $9 a month, you can have it delivered to your door.
Carol, would you take another picture after we get going again? Do you want to see our mouths moving?
So if you're into high school sports, the Fort Bend Herald.
Make sure you get Keenan. Make sure you get Keenan in there prominent. His girlfriend wants an enlargement of the picture, so.
It's really my mom.
Yeah.
Have you trained anyone to give you the next sheet?
Barbecue in Richmond, Texas, live on GRHS iRadio.
thank you, Bob Riley, back at Rudy's Barbecue. Coach, we talked about this before it happened, while it was happening, and then after it happened. You guys had a kind of a strange part of your schedule. You played game 9, and then and you beat Elkins 21-14. Then you had your off week, and then you played game 10 2 weeks later. We talked about how odd that might be at that stage of the season, but then again, allowed you to kind of get your guys back in shape and back healthy before you played game 10.
Yeah, you know, able definitely to get a little healthier with, you know, 9 straight weeks of games was tough, grind going through it, and then we're able to, you know, get them healthy, get a couple guys a little extra week of rest, and then going into the season finale and then into the playoffs. So, you know, worked out well. I thought we were healthy and full strength when the playoffs came.
And I think that what we talked about going into it was that it might be a momentum breaker, but as it turns out, you guys maybe needed that extra week to get healthy. And after you came out of the bye week, you beat Elkins 21-14 and had some mo going into the bi-district playoffs anyway.
Yeah, I think definitely the fact that, you know, with that win over Dulles kind of clinching the playoff spot, you know, kind of able to exhale a little bit, so it made for a different outcome. You know, I know if we weren't able to do that, it would probably be a little different feeling during the bye week and, you know, needing it to come down to last game of the season, so that was also, you know, another relief that you're going in knowing that you're going to get another game after and qualify for the playoffs.
And I think one of the biggest regrets I've had this season is I was not able to attend that Elkins game. I was ill, but it does speak volumes. I think what people definitely underrate is they always think of, like, in terms of like the playoffs, like the first round bye, the best teams get that rest. But I think they usually underrate the teams that, when they play the games, they're a little hotter, when they have those games that they played before, get that momentum going in. So it speaks volumes how, even with that odd scheduling and that rest, you guys were still able to come out and get that victory. And it showed in that Cinco Ranch game, especially in that second half, you guys were able to score some touchdowns. And I think it just speaks, again, volumes towards your coaching, what you're able to do with your guys, and just the way you have them play gritty physical football. I think it's just really impressive.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and we definitely talked about that just in terms of being able to get the 6 district wins, being able to be 6-2 in district, you know, in a high district finish. So, you know, I think we talked about this a little bit leading up to that, that even though we had clinched the playoff spot, that, you know, we still had some goals, season goals, team goals that we wanted to accomplish going into that last regular season week.
When you look at the final standings in 26A before the playoffs, is, again, I'm asking you to go back to August before the season started, is this how you saw 26A stacking up, or did you see the Longhorns maybe in a different spot before the season started?
You know, again, I knew that that it would be tough with Ridgepoint returning. And then the addition to Hightower, and again, Clements finished strong last year. So as you go off of that, you know, again, we were able to beat the Clements team that beat us last year, the Travis team that beat us last year, and the Dulles team that beat us last year. So, you know, that's three, you flip the three wins, you flip three losses to wins, and then able to maintain and beat Bush and Elkins and Austin for consecutive years. And you know, at the end of the day, when you sit back and look at it, and, you know, we're still kind of wrapping the season up yet, so we really haven't stepped back and looked there. You know, I think, you know, a 6-2 finish is a really good job in a tough district.
Well, and as you pointed out at the top of the show, in football, in sports in general, in life, everybody sets goals and you try to meet them. You guys, your goal was to make the playoffs, and you did that. How you did that remained to be seen when you set those goals, and now as we look back on the season, you were able to pick up those three wins that you didn't have last year against some teams, and pick up that overtime win against Dulles that put you into the playoffs. So, you know, goals set, goals met.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as you look as a, just a quick overview and a look at forward type deal, you go ahead and look and say, you know, coming into to the next year, you have to maintain and beat the teams that, that we were able to beat this year. But now you still have two ahead of us that you weren't able to, that we weren't able to beat, and kind of look to beat those so you can continue to improve and continue to get to that, that district championship.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like you said, it was a great improvement from last season to this season. You guys only lost two in-division games. You were able to make the playoffs. So I like that strategy of every year just gradually improving. So, you know, even though I will not be here, sadly, to watch the Longhorns next year, I definitely think with the spirit I see, because I've talked to a lot of football players, specifically Henry Chukwu, about, you know, what's going on in the locker room, how are you guys feeling heading into games, and I've never seen a moment where he didn't have full faith in the team every waking day. So I have full confidence in how you prepare the players that next year is going to be special, and even though I'll be away, I can't wait to see what y'all have in store.
We'll miss you, man.
So, Coach, when we come back, we'll talk about next season and how many seniors you're losing, which is the nature of high school football, all high school sports. You lose a big crop of seniors every year. We'll talk about that and what to look forward to for the Longhorns in 2023. Listening to live Longhorns Coach Speak from Rudy's Barbecue in Richmond.
See ya, Doug. All season long by the generosity and support of the following GRHS Athletic Booster Club sponsors.
These things. Zoom.
The Broughton, it's like you look, you're like, okay, we're good. And you look up and say, wait a minute, it's 3 minutes ago.
The George Ranch High School Athletic Booster Club Diamond sponsors are Audra O'Neill, T. Realtor.
It's a little easier to pace this show than it is to pace a game, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball's easy, but not football.
Garrett and Boy Orthodontics, NRL Mortgage.
All right, let's see.
Real Estate, Memorial Hermann Hospitals, Think Neurology, and Tritus Wealth Management. A hearty thank you to all of our GRHS Athletic Booster Club sponsors who support Live Longhorns Athletics on GRHS iRadio. Hello, fans. I'm Brett Dolan from Root Sports at ESPN3, and I listen to GRHS iRadio.
All right. Thank you, Brett Dolan, back at Rudy's Barbecue as we wrap up another edition and the last edition of Longhorns Coach Speak for another football season. Coach, as is the nature of high school athletics, you're going to lose a big crop of seniors. In your case, 39 seniors will graduate next May. What does your program look like in 2023?
You know, again, we have a large number of seniors, 39 seniors. A lot of those guys, a mixture of them guys, first-year varsity guys, second-year varsity guys, couple in Michelle's case, you know, three-year guys that will be missing. You know, when we look at this going down, and again, all of them played a big part, like we talked about all year, about getting this team back into the playoffs and the adversities that they have dealt with. But as you go through and you look, you know, you offensively, you look at your receiver and your tight end core, you know, and out of our receivers, we bring one receiver back in, Julius Carter, and, you know, you lose McElroy and Hans Lerana. You lose guys like that. Fortunately, you know, we're returning our backfield. We lose some other guys, obviously, Deron Randall, some of those guys. but you can bring him back a sophomore and a senior in the backfield, a senior quarterback. You know, we'll return the majority of the offensive line. Again, so some of those guys that two will be three-year players. With, you know, big Brandon Kane anchoring it there. But you got Eric Dominguez, you got Mixon that'll be back on that crew. We feel that we have a strong crew of receivers that were sub-varsity receivers this year. Get some height and some speed there that'll be varsity guys next year. And then defensively, you know, you lose Turner inside that I think was definitely our field general, able to get us lined up and do things, lose some of them defensive tackles that were playing. You know, you lose Kevin Oladipo, who's been a guy that's been involved for 2 years. But you bring back K.J. McGuire, who'd be a three-year guy, or Trayvon Akins, a three-year guy. Cody Ford, who came onto the scene, had a big year this year, will be back. Brandon Mays, and then we got, again, a good crew of younger guys, sub-varsity guys, and we probably have about 20, we have a good bunch of freshmen that were able to practice with us the whole week of the single ranch week in the playoffs. So now you add those guys into the mix. So we're excited about what's coming back and then what we have that's coming up in the program. And so I think definitely was able to get us back in the playoffs, have a solid district season, and now just build off of that. Offseason is going to be important, and just getting, you know, one thing that, again, we notice, we see it sometimes, just I think overall as a program, we need to get stronger. So just really focusing on the weight room in the next couple of months before we get into the football part. But we're excited about the future and what we got going on in Longhorn Nation.
Coach, I think for my closing thoughts here on the show, for those seniors, this is their last ride as George Ranch Longhorn. And I know they're not here, but if they were here right now listening to us, what is your final message to them and the team as a general as your season comes to a close and you head into another year of Longhorn football next year?
Yeah, definitely. We actually closed out team meeting today and had all the seniors and everything in there. And message I told them was how proud of them I am. I feel that this senior class has had so much adversity that no other senior class has had to deal with. Not even, you know, the first year of the seniors that COVID year hit. This class, your class, was freshmen. And, you know, went to that spring break and never came back. And then a year of online or in person or mixed learning. And how are athletics going? How aren't they going? To last your junior year, finally getting back, and now this senior year, you know. So again, and I told them this, that a lot of times from our school, and you know, whether it was other coaches, junior coaches, you know, that this senior class took a lot of flack. And I just told them how proud of them I am, and that the adversity that they have went through as a senior class showed on the football field, in my opinion. Because all those close games, the overtimes, the coming back from behind, you know, is a byproduct of the resilience that class has. So, as I am, I told them I love every one of them, and I'm so proud of what they've accomplished. And I think they have a very bright future, and whether it's in athletics or in life, I think they're going to be successful.
Coach, thank you so much. It's been an amazing three-year ride.
Thank you.
And as they used to say in broadcasting, the old clock on the wall says it's 7:15, and that means we're done for this episode and for this season of Longhorns Coach Speak. And we hope if Rudy's will have us, we'll be back next season, and we'll do it again with Coach Cavallo bring you this weekly update on Longhorns football. And talk about the game that just happened and the game that's coming up, and give the fans a lot of Longhorns football talk during the football season. So again, for Keenan Vaughn, thank you so much for all of your work over the last 3 years on the field and here with this program. Coach, thanks again for coming out every Monday.
Couldn't get you out of here on Fridays, I don't think. Coming out here on Mondays and talking Longhorns football with us. I'm Tom Tarando. Thanks for joining us tonight on Longhorns Coach Speak. So long, everybody.